protect the liberties of each and every one of us.
Run, Vaughn. He's a driver on that freedom train, so come on board. Well, she may have gone off track, but Ron Paul and bring her back. We're gonna hear that liberty whistle blow once more. Ron Paul. Ron Paul. Ron Paul. Train called freedom and America got on board. But a pocket full of anchors, well, they made that train go track. Now we need a leader who can get us back on course. Ron Paul, he's a driving that freedom train, so come on board. Well, she may have gone off track, but Ron Paul can bring her back. We're gonna hear that liberty whistle blow once more. A dollar worth its weight in gold will help let freedom ring. And every penny that you make belongs to you. Let's bring our soldiers home and leave the other trains alone. Ron Paul Freedom Train will see us through. Ron Paul, he's a driving that freedom train, so come on board. Well, she may have gone off track, but Ron Paul can bring her back. Wiggle your whistle blow once more.
Precisely to restrain the power and force of government and to protect the liberties of each and every one of us.
Ron Paul, he's a driving that freedom train, so come on board. Well, she may have gone off track, but Ron Paul can bring her back. We're gonna hear that liberty whistle blow once more. Run, ball. Run, ball. Run, ball.
Hello, this is Stephen Vincent. Thank you for tuning in to the Freedom Message for November 8th, 2007. So today, we had yet another in the string of classic confrontations between Ron Paul and Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke in the House of Representatives. And we're going to go ahead and play that for you. Before I do that, I want to go ahead and show you just what it is visually Congressman Paul is talking about and what they're what they're not talking about, what Congressman Paul is talking about, but what they, in the general media and in government, simply just don't want to discuss. And that is the precipitous decline of the U.S. dollar. So this, what you're seeing on the screen right now, is a chart of the United States dollar. Up on the upper left-hand corner, you're going to see a peak, That's in about June of 2005. And as you can see from that peak at the 92 level, there has been a precipitous decline in the value of the U.S. dollar. If you look at the 80 level, I know it's a little bit difficult to read on this particular graphic, but if you look at the 80 level, when it broke down through the classic support level of 80, it has since then been in a waterfall decline. This is what on a chart is known as a waterfall decline. This is a crash in progress. So we had Peter Schiff on the show yesterday, and he's certainly knowledgeable about this. He says that it is possible that we'll get a rally, and I agree with him. When you have an oversold condition like this in any financial instrument, you're bound at some point to get a very sharp short covering rally, which means that people that are profiting from the fall of this financial instrument, which is all the dollar is, will cover their position. That means they need to buy back their position in order to realize their profit. At a certain point, that's going to happen. What will the catalyst be? Tough to say. Could happen any day now where we see a sharp rally, perhaps back up to the 78 or 80 level. Let's put it this way. If it doesn't happen sometime within the next week, then we are in a full-fledged dollar crash, which means a depreciation of the dollar of about 20 to 30% over the course of the next 2 to 3 to 4 months. This is what Dr. Paul has been talking about. This is what all the hard money economists, the economists from the Mises Institute, have been talking about for many years. It is coming to fruition. Finally, in our lifetime, the last bubble has been blown. Let's go ahead and look at what Congressman Paul had to say to Chairman Bernanke today, and yet another of their classic confrontations.
Congressman Paul.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The best way I could describe the problem between the rock and the hard place, because we have a serious problem. We don't talk about much how we got here. We talk about how we're going to patch it up. The bubble has been burst. We saw what happened after the NASDAQ bubble burst. We don't ask how it was created, and then we have a housing bubble, and it's deflating and spreading. They don't say debase the currency. They don't say devalue the currency. They don't say cheat the people who are saved. They say lower the interest rates. But they never ask you, and I don't hear you say too often, the only way I can lower interest rates is I have to create more money. I have to lower the discount rate. I have to make it generous. I have to increase reserves. I have to lower the interest rates and fix to talk about. Currently, of course, we can't follow the money supply with M3, but we can follow one of your six, which is the MZM, the ready cash available, and we see that inflation is alive and well. It's that money supply figure is going up about 20% per annualized, and invites inflation. And unless we get down to the bottom of it and define what inflation is, and not look at only prices. This was taught by the free market economists all through the 20th century. It said, beware, they will increase the money supply, but they will make you concentrate on prices. And they will give you, not only have we had a subprime market in housing, the whole economic system is subprime in that we have artificially low interest rates. And it wasn't under your tenure in office. It's been going on for 10 years or longer, And now we're bearing the fruits of that policy. I mean, you know, 1% interest really believes. We need to talk about the distortion, the malinvestment, the misdirection, the bad information that is gotten from artificially low interest rates. In many ways, some people refer to you as a price fixer, you know, because you fix interest rates. The market is powerful and usually overwhelms and address this housing crisis, and we should have rules that would address deceptive lending practices. And I just think that is not the answer at all. The real deception is when we distort the value of money. When we create money out of thin air, we have no savings, and yet there's so-called capital, there's money available, but it comes from what you have to do and the pressures put on you. So I think we have to get back down to this. How in the world can we expect to solve the problems of inflation, that is the increase in the supply of money, with more inflation?
Congressman, first, just a technical point on the growth in money. Money growth has been pretty moderate over the last few years. The increase in MGM is probably that's indicative of policy necessarily. What we're trying to do is follow the mandate that Congress gave us, and the mandate that Congress gave us is to look at employment and inflation as measured by domestic price growth. And I talked about today, and I think you would agree that we do see risk to inflation, and we are taking those into account.
Further weakening the dollar. There's a dollar crisis out there, and people's money is being stolen. People who have saved, they're being robbed. I mean, if you have a devaluation of the dollar 10%, people have been robbed of 10%. How can you pursue this policy without addressing the subject that somebody's losing their wealth because of a weaker dollar, and it's going to lead to
the decline in the dollar? The only effect it has on their buying power is it makes imported goods more expensive.
Yeah, but not if you're retired, elderly, and you have CDs, and their cost of living is going up no matter what your CPI says. Cost of living is going up, and they're hurting, and that's why people in this country are very upset.
Well, we have a certain level of anxiety up here.
Okay, so yet another classic confrontation. Dr. Paul always brings up legitimate points about monetary policy, about inflation, about interest rates, and Bernanke simply just doesn't answer. He doesn't even acknowledge that Dr. Paul has asked these questions, and that's to be expected. Now, I'm not in the school of thought that some people say, well, the Fed is stupid. They're doing stupid things. They're unintelligent in their management of the money supply. No, they know exactly what they're doing. There is their intention to debase the United States dollar, to maneuver the country into a position of economic collapse so that the dollar can be replaced by a new monetary unit, an international monetary unit, the Amero. This has already been established by the Council on Foreign Relations that we will have the Amero. So they're purposefully destroying the dollar so that we will be integrated with Canada and Mexico into a North American Union, and the first step in that will be the adoption of the Amerigo, of course, our of the euro. Dr. Paul tries to bring the point that interest rates are being Fed set by the Fed rather than the market, and that the market is the ultimate instrument to determine price levels, the price of the dollar. The price of the dollar is the interest rate that's being charged for it. That should be set by market forces, not by a bunch of men sitting in a room and that they know how to manage the economy. Of course, as Dr. Paul frequently says, I don't know how to manage the economy. I don't know how to run the economy. I don't know how to, where interest rates should be. The market does. It was really interesting to hear Ben Bernanke say that the only effect of monetary inflation, when they say inflation, that means the amount of dollars in circulation. That's the inflation. It results in price inflation. Now, in this case, he points out correctly that, well, the only effect of inflation is that imported goods will be more expensive. Well, excuse me, Mr. Bernanke, just about everything we consume is imported. We have, all comes from overseas, and the only pockets where there aren't any inflation is because it has been subsidized by slave labor, by dirt cheap Chinese slave labor. So we have oil at an all-time high. We have wheat and corn at or near all-time highs. The basic stuff of life, of commerce, is at all-time highs, yet there is no price inflation, according to the government and the Fed. So what we're seeing is constant, unending inflation of the dollar, the creation of more credit and more dollars, and at the same time, a decrease in the demand for that very same commodity, the dollar, as foreigners start to buy less and less and less U.S. treasuries and financial assets, such as the Chinese, such as the Saudis, and such as the Indians. So this is not a trend that we're going to see the end of. We are most likely in the very early stages of an actual crash in the value of the United States dollar, which will mean a deflation in the value of our buying power and what we can purchase with those dollars as time goes by. So you will be getting more and more on this from me, and we'll have other financial experts like Peter Schiff on the show again to keep you posted on what this all means. So let's see, what else do I have for you today? Dennis Kucinich has filed articles of impeachment against Dick Cheney. This is, I think, a significant event. It's not going to get any traction. It's not going to go anywhere, but I think that we should be aware that this is happening. I'd like to mention incredibly historic times. We're seeing the value of the dollar crash right now before our eyes. We're seeing the rise of a new political force in this country, the Ron Paul campaign and the Ron Paul revolution. We're seeing an administration being identified as criminal by more and more people across the country, to the extent that articles of impeachment have been filed. We are seeing the preparations for a nuclear first strike against a country, a defenseless country like Iran. We are involved in an unending, permanent war against an amorphous enemy that can never be identified, much less defeated, the war on terror. All of this happening simultaneously. We're truly living through dramatic and historic times, and our actions in these circumstances will determine the future of our country and the future of humanity. So let's go ahead and have a look at what Dennis Kucinich had to say about the impeachment of Dick Cheney.
is impeached for high crimes and misdemeanors, and that the following articles of impeachment be exhibited to the United States Senate. Articles of impeachment exhibited by the against Richard B. Cheney, Vice President of the United States of America, in maintenance and support of its impeachment against him for high crimes and misdemeanors. Article 1. In his conduct while Vice President of the United States, Richard B. Cheney, in violation of his and in violation of his constitutional duty to take care that the law is fully executed, has purposely manipulated the intelligence process to deceive the citizens of Congress of the United States by fabricating a threat of Iraqi weapons of mass destruction. Despite all evidence to the contrary, the Vice President actively and systematically sought to deceive the citizens and the Congress of the United States about an alleged threat of Iraqi weapons of mass destruction. A. Quote, we know that they have biological and chemical weapons. Unquote. Crown Prince of Bahrain, Al Shah Hamad Palace. B. And we know they're pursuing nuclear weapons. March 19, 2002. A press briefing by the Vice President Richard Cheney and Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon in Jerusalem. C. And he's actively. We know he's got chemicals and biological, and we know he's got nuclear. That's May 19, 2002, NBC Meet the Press interview with Vice President Cheney. Quote, but we know that Saddam has resumed his efforts to acquire nuclear weapons. Simply stated, unquote, August 26, 2003, speech of Vice President Cheney at the VFW 103rd National Convention. F, quote, based on intelligence that's becoming available, some of it has been made public, more of it hopefully will be, that he has indeed stepped up his capacity to produce and deliver biological weapons, that he has reconstituted his nuclear program to develop a nuclear weapon, and that there are efforts underway inside Iraq to significantly expand his capability, unquote. 2002, NBC Meet the Press interview with Vice President Cheney. H, quote, and we believe he has, in fact, reconstituted the nuclear weapons, unquote. March 16, 2003, NBC Meet the Press interview with Vice President Cheney. No legitimate evidence existed of weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. The Vice President ordered the intelligence community to change their findings to enable the deception of the citizens and Congress of the United States. A. Vice President Cheney and his Chief of Staff, links to Al-Qaeda, creating an environment in which analysts felt they were being pressured to make their assessments fit with the Bush administration's policy objectives accounts. B. Vice President Cheney sought out unverified and ultimately interpretation of the intelligence. Number three, the president's actions corrupted or attempted to corrupt the 2002 National Intelligence Estimate, an intelligence document issued on October 1st, 2002, and carefully prevented the necessary reconciliation of facts for the national intelligence estimate, which resulted in a high number of dissenting opinions from technical experts in two federal agencies. A. The State Department's Bureau of Intelligence and Research that Baghdad has launched a coherent effort to reconstitute its nuclear weapons program, INR is unwilling to speculate that such an effort began soon after the departure of UN inspectors or to project a timeline for the completion of Iraq could acquire a nuclear device or weapon, unquote. B. The State Department's Bureau of Intelligence and Research dissenting view in the of Iraqi pursuit of natural uranium in Africa are, in INR's assessment, highly dubious, unquote. C. The State Department's Bureau of Intelligence and Research dissenting view in the October 2002 National Intelligence U.S. Department of Energy, who have concluded that the tubes Iraq seeks to acquire are suited for use in gas centrifuges to be used for in uranium enrichment, and finds unpersuasive the advanced by others to make the case that they are intended for that purpose, unquote. Costs of more than 3,800 United States service members, the loss of more than 1 million innocent Iraqi citizens since the United States invasion, the loss of approximately $500 billion in the loss of the United States credibility in world affairs, decades of likely blowback created by the invasion of constitutional government to the prejudice of the cause of law and justice. Removal.
There we have Dennis Kucinich presenting articles of impeachment against Vice President Cheney. I am thankful that he made the thrust of his argument the violation of the Constitution, and we should track the progress of this. It won't go anywhere. The Democrats themselves are completely bought into the system. with the Republicans. There are no distinctions to be made between Republicans and Democrats these days until we rebuild a true conservative Republican wing of the Republican Party, which we are in the process of doing. There is no difference between the Democrats and the Republicans. They are both big government, and big government and big welfare state, big warfare state. They have rhetorical differences on the surface, but we will see no impeachment of Dick Cheney or George Bush. We will have to take this country back through the ballot box, through the Ron Paul revolution. But I still would like to thank Dennis Kucinich for putting that issue on the national agenda by presenting articles of impeachment against Dick Cheney. Let's go ahead and going to have a look at Ron Paul. He was in New Hampshire, and he spoke to the New Hampshire Telegraph newspaper, and this is about one-fourth of the entire interview. We'll go ahead and listen to and watch a little bit of this, and then I've got something from Lou Dobbs for you. So here is Congressman Paul today in New Hampshire.
Good morning. I'm Nick Pappas, editorial page editor of The Telegraph, and I'd like to welcome you to the studios of Nashua High School South. But for the next 60 minutes, it's Paul, the Republican congressman from Texas and a candidate for president of the United States. Congressman, welcome to Nashua. Thank you for joining us. Senior political reporter Kevin Landrigan will ask the first question.
Congressman, I want to start with people who support your position on the war. Is it duty your views on the Constitution? All of the above? What do you think is out there that's generating this kind of support?
I think it's all of the above. I think the attention getter is the war, because it's a big issue, but I think that prompts a lot of people to go and look at our website and say, oh, you know, bring it all together, and they end up telling me, boy, that makes a lot of sense, and then they come on board. But this Latin raiser was pretty astounding. I think it surprised everybody. And to me, the amazing thing was that there were 20,000 new people who sent money in. So I have over the years with direct mail. And can you imagine how many direct mail pieces you'd have to mail to get 20,000? It's very, very expensive, hundreds of thousands of new mail, and yet these came up free of charge. We did nothing. You know, all of a sudden, they found us, sent in money, and they were on our list. It's sort of like on auto.
Either in domestic or foreign aid once we leave, given what we the situation.
Well, the first, my position is as soon as possible. And that's overly simplified, because how soon is soon as possible. But I would think within a few months, you know, it's not a few years, maybe 4 to 6 months, depending on what the military says. But I think the announcement, and if they believed us, changed the nature of everything in that region. And as far as the moral obligation goes, I think it's an immoral obligation to think that we should be the policemen of the world. So we act on an immoral principle. Difficult question is, well, we've blown their country up. There's depleted uranium over there. We've blown up their bridges, and what are you going to do about it? And that is not as easy. I wish I could put penalty on those who led us to the war. You know, we could put all the blame on those who gave the advice and who supported it, including many outside of government. They're the ones who are morally responsible, but that's not possible either. But I have not been able to accept the idea that the penalty should be further placed on the American tax. Money already. What are they missing? $9 billion of cash? They don't know where it went? So just sending more money over there? I would say no. So I'm not willing to tax the American taxpayer more money. And fortunately, the country there has an answer, and that is they're a rich country. They have oil. And I would have to say that that's the way it ought to be paid for. A country, blow up the bridges, blow up their infrastructure. Then they're taxed to rebuild it, which we're in the process of trying to do right now. At the same time, we're going broke. We have these huge deficits. And we can't even take care of our own bridges. We can't even take care of our own levies. So I would say, yes, we have to give up the whole principle of blowing things up around.
Part of your popularity has to do with your extreme reduction in the size of the government that you've proposed, including wholesale elimination of many agencies. The people who vote for you should realistically believe these things can be accomplished, because you would still need Congress and
realistically could believe that that's what I would try to do, but realistically the president doesn't have that authority, and I'm trying to, you know, reduce the size and scope and the authority of the executive branch. That's one of our greatest threats. So I couldn't do that, but if an individual like myself is elected, it sends a very powerful political message, and that I have noticed is already influencing a lot of people in Congress because of thinking. So I think that there's a limit to what you can do. You have to be able to lead. I think the area that you have the most responsibility and the most ability to do would be in the foreign policy. But, you know, if you look at the campaign, at the top of the list, I mean, they know that I would aim for personal liberties. It wasn't to get rid of the Department of Education. Matter of fact, I'm case for saying that some of the individuals and groups that are totally dependent, that we've taught to be dependent, I think I'm the only one that has any commonsensical answer to it, because I want to cut so much money from overseas, cut the deficit education, that shouldn't be where we attack it. So I sort of resent the idea that finally we get a veto that's on child health care, you know, from somebody that I don't think is a true conservative. At the same time, there's no think of how far that $10 billion could have gone that we have just pumped in the last 6 years into Pakistan to support a military dictator. It's now the whole thing is coming unglued. Program. They shouldn't have ever been started as part of the problem, but it's not part of the early answer.
These need secure borders. How do you plan to do that?
I do not think the answer in securing borders is very best to monitor the people coming in, because we live in a cold age and terrorists can come in, and we should do our very best as much as we want to make sure our immigration is legal and controlled. I think we have illegal immigration because of the incentive in your family. Then the family has they're promised free medical care and free education. These burdens have been put on the system, which is mandated and dictated by the federal government, has compounded this problem with the promise of amnesty. So it's not easy.
Okay, so there was Dr. Paul today speaking in New Hampshire to the, I believe it's called the Nashua Telegraph. I may be mistaken about that, but it's one of the major newspapers in New Hampshire. And that's the first part of a 60-minute presentation. If you do a YouTube or Google search, it will come up and you can watch the rest of that. If you'd like to call into the show... Sure. And that's the first part of a 60-minute presentation. If you do a YouTube or Google search, it will come up and you can watch the rest of that. If you'd like to call into the show, there is a new call-in number. It's been changed. I'll flash that up on the screen for you. 888-228-4494. Double check that for you because it's changed several times. Yes, 228-4494. And you can call between now and the half hour if there's anything that you wanted to talk about or any subjects you wanted to bring up or any comments you'd like to make or information that you would like to share. 888-228-4494. I'd love to take your call. I haven't been taking a lot of calls lately just because there's so much news to cover lately. But certainly if you'd like to call in between now and the half hour, that'd be fine. Now, the show can be listened to as an audio stream. It's available there in the upper right-hand corner of the webpage, www.ronpaulfreedommessage.com. You can listen or you can also watch the stream. And look for the... in the middle of the page, you do need to have Flash installed. So you would go to www.flash.com and install the appropriate software. So if you'd like to call in, I'll take your call. What I'm going to do now is a piece from Lou Dobbs. And then we'll talk about that. And in the meantime, while this is playing, this is a 5.5-minute clip. Feel free to go ahead and call in and then be on hold.
All right, well, he says the country's way off track and that Washington needs to wake up. Lou Dobbs, the outspoken anchor and managing editor. So right now, great to see you.
Great to see you.
Now, you had to come in early.
24/7, we're ready.
Well, we're good. We're glad we have you with us. You know, you talk in your new book, which is a great read, by the way, about advocacy
far. But there is no reason, and Michael Chertoff, of whom I'm extremely critical, the head of Homeland Security, says point blank, anybody listening, we in this country, our government agencies at any level, should not be giving lawful documentation or identification to illegal aliens. It is not very complicated. These people are illegal. If they want to drive on our roads, do what an American does when we're in Mexico or when we're in Europe or Asia. Get an international driver's license. Be honest. Be straightforward. That's the obligation. It's stupid.
There's another big issue going on, and it's in the news again today,
sure.
Problems with recalls in China. And I want you to listen to what Republican presidential candidate Ron Paul said yesterday about the U.S. economy and how it relates to China.
The Chinese right now are bringing us down, not with a weapon, but the weapon of the dollar, because we've created too many of them. You have to stop the spending. You have to balance the budget. You have to live within our means. And if we don't, the currency is going to be destroyed, and all our domestic programs are going to be threatened. It's a very, very serious problem.
You know, this is something that Ron Paul has talked about a lot, yet he's still polling at the bottom of the pack. Is there not? Why isn't there more resonance about this problem with voters?
One of the reasons is that you have two political parties, the Republicans and the Democrats, that are simply, those two parties are simply opposite wings of the same bird, and they're giving the bird to the American people. There is no, the dollar is declining. Right now, in my judgment, is as much because there is no leadership in this country, either in business or politics or government, as the fact that we are in massive debt. We have these presidential candidates seeking the party's nomination, none of which, by the way, I think will ever be elected. I think we're going to see a surprise candidate between now and next November. But they're not talking.
An independent?
An independent? Absolutely. A populist caring more about the people than corporate America and special interests and socio-ethnic interests?
But we've never seen
absolutely.
That happen.
You've never seen it happen, so it can't happen? We are going to see it happen, in my opinion. But the important thing here about Ron Paul, because he's talking about the issues, these other candidates and these parties don't want to talk about the fact this superpower is spending hundreds of billions of dollars carrying out a global war. It's unsustainable. So there's no discussion when we talk about seeing a global war on terror. We don't even name the enemy. These candidates are not being straightforward. When we talk about a superpower, this is the world's largest debtor nation. Our middle class is getting screwed. Our public education system is falling apart, the great equalizer in the society. And I truly believe you're going to see this be the year of the independent thinkers, critical thinkers. If the independents decide to create a party, it's going to be the thinking man and woman's party, and it's going to be an action party.
All right, we'll see if it happens. Independence Day, Awakening the American Spirit is a new book. Lou, by the way, has moved starting
a whole
Monday.
Hour.
That's right. 7 p.m. Eastern time will be.
Good. So there we have Lou Dobbs. I think that's about as close as you can get to an endorsement of Ron Paul. He was saying that there will be an independent candidate. I think he means independent in spirit, not necessarily independent in party, and it's abundantly clear that he was referring to Ron Paul. I think there's simply no question about that. And he spoke on many of the same themes that we have been speaking about today, the monetary policy issue, and as I commented earlier, the Republican Party and the Democratic Party are two wings of the same beast. And Lou Dobbs certainly echoed those sentiments in his talk there. So it's good to know that there are some people in the establishment media that we can look to for some kind of an objective outlook on our situation. Let me go ahead and do this for you. Now, we've got about 10 more minutes left in our audio broadcast on bbsradio.com. After that, you can switch to RonPaulFreedomMessage.com, RonPaulFreedomMessage.com, to watch the rest of the show. We have a few more things I'd like to present for you for the rest of the show. Here's something I would like to do for you. I would like to play for you a piece of audio from National Public Radio, also known as National Propaganda Radio. I am no fan of NPR. I would love to have infinite time to be able to dissect the reports that I hear on that station, on that network, every single day. It is absolutely unbelievable. I'm going to play you a piece here that I think is worthy of the best Nazi propagandists. Now, these Nazi propagandists wear frilly liberal garb, but the effect is none the same. It is propaganda. It is deception. It is lies and innuendo. And we're going to go ahead and listen to this, and I'm going to go ahead and stop as we go and take this apart, because I'm going to enjoy that. Here we go. Today, a report on NPR. Finally, I might add, because I wake up to this trash every single morning. It gets me out of bed. You see, I have to actually walk across the room to shut it off. And it gets me out of bed. So, that's why I listen to it every single morning. And finally we have a report on Ron Paul. What did it take to get Ron Paul mentioned on National Public Radio? It took $4.2 million raised in a single day.
It's not a presidential election without at least one anti-establishment candidate shaking up the race. Think Ross Perot, Pat Buchanan, Ralph Nader. This week, add to the list, Texas Congressman Ron Paul.
Okay, I'll stop right there. Of course, the implication is they were all losers, and therefore that's what Ron Paul is and will be. This is the way it's done, folks. It's through innuendo and implication, through association. It's very subtle. This is really, truly masterful stuff straight out of the book of Joseph Goebbels.
On Monday, the Maverick Republicans set a one-day internet fundraising record, bringing in $4.3 million in 24 hours. Now he's taking his web-fueled campaign on the road. NPR's Robert Smith tagged along in New Hampshire.
He tagged along. You know, what do you tag along with? You know, with a kid, with something kind of insignificant. That's what you tag along with.
The teenagers at Nashua High School had seen Ron Paul's face before, on YouTube, on MySpace, but they all seemed to remember different things about him.
I know he's pro-life, and I know he wants to abolish the IRS.
We know he's been a congressman for like 30 years.
Yeah, and that he's a doctor.
He's a hybrid of, I guess, Democrat and liberal. I'd say more libertarian than Republican.
It might be hard to believe they're all talking about the same guy, the only Republican presidential candidate who opposes the war in Iraq. And yet there he was, standing in front of a school assembly in a suit and black tennis shoes.
I've been accused of being too conservative. I've been accused of being too liberal. But the truth is I have voted according to the Constitution.
The pitch for freedom and liberty went over well with these teenagers still living.
Okay. So, you know, you could have your choice of picking just about any of the dozens of events that Ron Paul has been attending in New Hampshire. Really, dozens of options. And they choose a high school. And the entire theme here is Ron Paul is for kids. Ron Paul is for young teenagers below voting age who are basically uninformed and don't know the difference between a real candidate and Ron Paul. That's the implication.
Living at home, Paul also draws large crowds on college campuses.
Again, yeah, it's either high school students or college campuses. Nobody else really actually likes Ron Paul. It's just kids. That is the implication here. Very clear.
They're the backbone of my campaign. If they're not voting age, I'll go tell their parents.
But Paul is seeming less.
And I might want to add that we hear this a lot. This is one of the attack points in the establishment media. Oh, those kids, they really love you, Dr. Paul. And it is kind of regrettable. I would like to say if I were counseling Dr. Paul, I would ask him to downplay the kid connection, because we're playing into a trap. The trap is a box. put Dr. Paul in the kid box. Put him in the box of only Ron Paul is for kids. Uninformed, naive, idealistic kids like Ron Paul. So I don't even think it's accurate to say that the kids are the backbone of the Ron Paul campaign. It just simply isn't accurate. When I look around an event that we do here in Los Angeles, there are young people. There are people under the age of 30. There are people under the age of 20. There are people under the age of 18. Some, very few. But the vast majority are adult working people with families, professional careers, established. Okay? That's what's driving this campaign. It's simply not true that the backbone of the campaign is children.
Just like the underground youth candidate every day. On this trip, he's tailed by TV crews and newspaper reporters interested in seeing the man who raised so much money on the internet. The cash has helped Paul put on TV ads in New Hampshire, and it seems to be helping. Up until this month, Paul has averaged about 3% in the polls. Andy Smith of the University of New Hampshire Survey Center says his latest poll, to be released on Sunday, shows that Paul is doing better.
I think it'd be safe to say that he will be outpacing one of the national front runners.
Smith says Paul is still a long, long way from being a front runner himself, but he might be able to make a difference in New Hampshire. It's a state that allows independent voters to vote in either primary, and it's long been known to have a libertarian streak.
This is a state that is conducive to a small campaign by what you would think of as an outsider candidate, but to do that, you have to be here. You have to actually campaign.
Which is why Congressman Ron Paul spent yesterday dropping in on businesses in New Hampshire and shaking hands on the street. On a Manchester sidewalk, George Kalafalidis recognized Paul from the internet, and he liked his style.
His honesty and him being upfront. I mean, you ask him a question, and he'll just tell you.
But that honesty doesn't always win votes. At a restaurant called Constantly Pizza in Concord, the owners nodded along as Ron Paul talked about getting rid of taxes and big government, but they were less receptive when Paul told them that he doesn't totally believe in global warming and said that the government shouldn't regulate fuel efficiency in cars. Dave Constant wasn't convinced.
It comes a broad spectrum, and it's hard to figure out what he's really focused on.
Of course, that lack of a single focus is one of Paul's strengths on the internet. He's got a little something for everyone. The pothead can focus on Paul's stand to legalize medical marijuana.
There we go again. Okay, Ron Paul is for pot-smoking kids. Wasn't necessary to refer to any Ron Paul supporter as a pothead, but there you have it. There you have it. That's mind control. That's propaganda.
The pro-lifer can take solace in Paul's view that there's no constitutional right to abortion. But could those supporters coexist in a real-life campaign? Ron Paul says they can.
So far, nobody's getting up there and putting disclaimers on and say, well, I support Ron Paul except for. They just say, I'm supporting Ron Paul's campaign, which is really supporting the Constitution and individual liberty.
And regardless of the reason, they are backing it up with money. Robert Smith, NPR News, Manchester, New Hampshire.
Okay, so, you know, I just think that we need to be very careful about not being maneuvered into the boxes that the establishment wants to create for this campaign. One of those boxes is Ron Paul is kid stuff. And it's just simply not true. It's not accurate, and it doesn't reflect the substance of the campaign or the man or his message. I wish that he would play into that a lot less. Now listen, I love the fact that young people love Dr. Paul, and I am inspired by the fact that young people who are the future of this country are waking up, and in most cases, many cases, are more awake to the reality of our current situation than their parents. And I think that that is absolutely fabulous, and I support it 1,000%. But we cannot allow this campaign to